Let me just tell you what's going on in this parable that we read. A Pharisee had invited Jesus to dinner, and Jesus came. While he was at the Pharisee's house at dinner, a woman in the city, a sinner, the Bible says, came and stood at Jesus' feet. She began to weep. She washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair, and then she took an alabaster box that she had brought in that was filled with ointment and anointed her feet. Now, the Pharisee was sitting across the table from Jesus, or laying across the table as they did, reclined, and said to himself, didn't say it out loud, but said to himself, if Jesus was really a prophet, he would know that this woman is a sinner, and he would not let her touch him. Now, Jesus, again, the Pharisee didn't say it out loud. Simon didn't say it out loud, but Jesus knew what he was thinking. And so Jesus told the parable that we read a moment ago. Said there was a creditor that had two debtors. One of them owed 500 pence, and a pence is about a day's wage back in that day. So he had one pence that owed 500 wages, 500 days of wages. So over a year, almost 2 years of wages. And another sinner owed 50 pence, 50 days of wages. Again, a sizable amount, almost 2 months worth of work. And the Bible says that neither one of them had nothing to pay. So they were bankrupt. They had absolutely no money. And when they told the creditor that they had no money, the Bible says he frankly forgave them both. Now, Jesus asked Simon the question. He says, which one of those two sinners do you suppose loved Jesus the most? And Simon said, well, I guess it's the one that he forgave the most. And Jesus said, you've rightly judged. Now, I want to talk about that parable because it's one of 25 parables in the Gospel of Luke. Some Bibles refer to it as the parable of the two debtors. And it says some things to us that we need to know, that we need to understand. But there's a couple things that it doesn't say. First of all, it doesn't say that before we get saved, we ought to sin as much as we can, because when God saves us, we'll love him more. If that were true, then we ought not to have those little kids in Kelly's class back there. And if we have them in there, we ought to tell them, you go out and be real good sinners, because when you get saved, you're going to love Jesus more than if you didn't sin. That's not what the parable teaches. Some of you had just a terrible past into all sorts of sin. Others of you were Sunday school kids from the time you were born. Like Murph back there, he's been coming to church ever since he was born. Now, I don't think those that were terrible sinners and got saved out of that sin love Jesus any more than the Sunday school kids do. I think we all love Jesus. We all love Jesus. So that parable doesn't teach that we ought to teach our little ones, we ought to teach sinners, go out and sin all you can, because when you get saved, you're going to love Jesus more. It doesn't teach that. It also doesn't teach that there's a difference between sinners. I mean, yes, there was one guy that owed 50, and another guy that owed 500, but it's not teaching that there's a difference between sinners. There's no difference between sinners. That there's no difference between a big sinner and a little sinner. In God's sight, there's no big sins and there's no little sins. There's just sin. And every sin, regardless of how big or little it is, will come before the judgment seat of Christ. The lost will reap what they sow, and every sinner, depending on what, it doesn't depend on what their sin is, they're just as lost as the next one. Amen. Just as lost as the next one. So Jesus told this parable. It has a message to us. 3 points I want to make this morning. Number one, all sinners are bankrupt. All sinners are bankrupt. It says, and when they had nothing to pay, the 50 pence debtor and the 500 pence debtor both had nothing to pay. Every sinner has nothing to pay. Just like these debtors were both broke. Just like these debtors had their checking account empty and their savings account empty and they had no mad money stashed anywhere, they didn't have nothing. So every sinner has nothing to pay for their sin. Every sinner, our accounts are empty in the sight of God, and there's nothing that we can use to pay for our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the soul that sinneth it shall die. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The Bible says because we're a sinner, we owe a penalty. That penalty is death, not physical death, but spiritual death, separation from God. That's the price that Adam and Eve paid when they were in the Garden of Eden. They sinned. They disobeyed God. They eat from the tree that God told them not to eat from. They were separated from the presence of God. They died spiritually. I think they lived, could have been hundreds of years after they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. I think they could have lived many, many years after that. Probably did. But they died spiritually. They paid the price of their sin in that they lost their fellowship with God. The Bible talks about it as the second death. Revelation 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's the penalty that sinners are going to pay, left to their own devices. That's the penalty that sinners are going to pay. We have a debt. It doesn't matter what sin you committed. It doesn't matter if the only sin that you've committed is to tell a little lie. And by the way, there's no little lies. Amen. There's no little lies. A lie is a lie. There's no little theft. I mean, you steal a penny and still steal $1 million, you're still stealing. You tell a little white lie or you tell a whopper, you're still lying. There's no difference in the sight of God. And again, you may not have committed murder. You may not have robbed a bank. You may not have committed one of the cardinal sins that we sometimes put them in the category. And you may consider yourself a 50-pence sinner compared to a 500-pence sinner. But I want to tell you, both of those sinners, if their sins are not paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, both of those sinners are going to pay the price. They're both going to go to hell. They are both bankrupt in the sight of God. There's no difference. The Bible says, in fact, in the book of James, that if we break the point in one law, we are guilty of all. Guilty of all. One of the laws that's talked about in the book of Exodus is honor your father and mother. Whenever I'm talking to little kids, I always ask them, I said, hey, and because sometimes, you know, little kids have a hard time understanding that they're sinners. They just can't get the idea through their mind what sin is. So I always ask them the question, have you ever disobeyed mom and dad? Sissy, have you ever disobeyed? Once? Twice? How many times? Never mind. I'm just teasing you. You disobey dad or mom once, makes you a sinner. Makes you a sinner. In the sight of God, we're just as guilty as a sinner by disobeying mom and dad or telling a little lie or taking something from our brother that doesn't belong to us. We're just as guilty in the sight of God as somebody that robs a bank or commits murder. You say, preacher, that doesn't seem right. Well, sin's sin. God doesn't put it in different categories. God doesn't rank it. I mean, a 5-pence sinner or a 1-pence sinner is just as guilty as the 500-pence sinner. And neither one of them has anything to pay. They're bankrupt. And before we got saved, that's what we were. We were bankrupt sinners. Now, you know what people that are bankrupt, I mean really bankrupt, don't have any money, you know what they try to do? They try not to think about it. They think, well, I just won't think about being bankrupt. I'll find an amusement. That word amuse means to not think about. I'll find it an amusement of the world to get involved in, and I won't have to think about the fact that I'm bankrupt. Sinners try to do that too. They say, I won't remember that I'm a bankrupt sinner. Well, you may not think about it now, but you're going to think about it for all eternity if you don't think about it now. But the bankrupt sinners try not to think about that they're bankrupt. They try to put on a good show. They may not have any money, but they'll get a good car and they'll dress in fine clothes and they won't let anybody know that they're bankrupt. I read about a city that was bankrupt, and because they didn't want the people outside to know they were bankrupt, they took their bread and threw it over the walls. And they thought, well, the people outside won't know we're bankrupt because we're throwing our bread over the walls. They were starving to death inside, but they didn't want anybody to know. Now, you may try to dress up your sin. You may try to make yourself look good in the sight of man, but in the sight of God, you're still a bankrupt sinner. You're a sinner that has no way to pay for your sin. And then here's people that are bankrupt. They do something else. They make all sorts of promises. Oh, well, I'll pay you next week. I'll pay you the week after that. I'll pay you next month. They don't have any money. They have no way to pay the debt that they owe. We can make all sorts of promises to God. And you can promise him to live a good life. You can promise him to come to church every Sunday. You can promise him to get baptized. You can promise him to take communion. But the promises that you make to God don't make any difference about whether you go to heaven and hell. Look, you need to understand, I need to understand, that before we met Jesus Christ as our Savior, and if you're here today and you've never met him, you're a sinner, a bankrupt sinner. You have nothing to offer to God to pay for your sin. Just like these two debtors. They owed money, but they didn't have nothing to pay. You owe a debt. Your sin debt is death. That's the penalty of sin. And there's nothing that you can do to pay for it yourself than to die and go to hell and be separated from God forever. We're all bankrupt sinners. Number two, the thing that this parable teaches, all sinners, listen to this. This is the good news part of this story. All sinners can be forgiven. All sinners can be forgiven. Verse 42, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. The 50 pence sinner and the 500 pence sinner, both of them were forgiven. How were they forgiven? They were forgiven by coming to the creditor and saying, we have nothing to offer to pay our debt. We are bankrupt. We throw ourselves on your mercy and your grace. The reason that they were forgiven was not because they were good. Was not because they had something to offer the creditor. The reason that they were forgiven was because the creditor was a good guy. The creditor was one that was forgiving. The creditor was one that was willing to put aside their debt. Again, not because of what they could give, not because of what they could do, but because who he was. The same thing's true of God. God's forgiveness does not come in response to something we do. God's forgiveness does not come in response to something we say. God's forgiveness does not come because of any action on our part. It comes because God is good. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace, and he will forgive us. Now, again, as long as you're trying to make yourself good, as long as you won't admit that you have nothing to pay, as long as you can think you can take care of your sin yourself, God says, okay, go ahead, do your best, and we might try, and it's not until we come to the point where we realize that there's nothing that we have that can pay for our sin, until we come to that point and throw ourselves completely on God, forgiveness will not come. It's only when we admit that we have nothing to pay the debt that we owe and allow God to be God and to show his mercy and his grace and his love. Notice some things. That forgiveness was free. It was free. They didn't have to pay one bit for it. We don't earn the forgiveness from God. It does not come in response to tears, prayers, or promises that we make to God. We are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not make God merciful by what we do. God is always merciful. We do not make God gracious by what we do. God is always gracious. He did not send us to hell. When we sinned, he gave us mercy and did not give us what we deserved. And then he gave us grace. He sent his only begotten son to die on the cross in our place to bear our sin. And because Jesus died, God is able to offer to every person the gift of life. Amen. It's free. notice about these two debtors. Now, I know I'm out of time, so I'm going to be quick. They were completely forgiven. The creditor didn't say, hey, I'll take care of half of your debt, you pay the rest of it. Or he didn't say, I'll take care of 90% or 95% of your debt, you take care of the rest of it. The Bible says he frankly forgave them both all of their debt. Salvation is not part God and part us. Salvation is all Jesus Christ. We don't have to add anything to it. All we got to do is receive it. All we got to do is take it. It is free and it is full and it is forever. When we're forgiven by God, he puts our sins, I mentioned it in Sunday school, he puts them as far as the east is from the west. He buries them in the deepest part of the sea. He puts our sins in a place that he can't find. I know that sounds strange that God can't find it, but God hides them from himself and he will never recall them and put them back on our account. Our sins are wiped off of our account. The righteousness of Christ is put on our account. So his forgiveness is free, it's full, and it's forever, and it is available to everybody. Everybody. I don't care what kind of sinner you are this morning. I don't care if you're a 50 pence sinner or a 500 pence sinner. God is willing to forgive you. And he's willing to forgive me. So all sinners are bankrupt. All sinners can be forgiven. And then number three, forgiveness leads to peace. We didn't read the verses, but down in that chapter, Jesus talked to this lady that washed and anointed his feet. He said, "Thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." This lady came into the presence of Christ, a bankrupt sinner. She had a debt she could not pay. She was forgiven by God. And when she left that house, Jesus said, "You go in peace. You go in peace. We're not at war with one another anymore. There's no enmity between you and me anymore. When you came in, you were a sinner. You were separated from God, but your faith saved you." She put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Jesus says that we need to do as bankrupt sinners. There's nothing that we can offer to pay for our sin. There's nothing that we need to do to add to what God's already done. When Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished," what he was saying is the price of sin has been paid for. It's done. God's plan is complete. All you have to do is come and take it. All you have to do is believe it and receive it. It's available to every single person. Quit trying to pay for your sin yourself. You're trying to do something that's impossible. It's never been done. Never. It's not done today, and it will never be done. Man cannot pay for their sins, but Jesus did. Jesus did. See, I want to tell you something this morning. This may shock some of you, but listen real close. Every single person here is a sinner. Some of us have been forgiven because we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Some are not. If you're in the not category, I want you this morning. Here's what I want you to do. Just admit you're a bankrupt sinner. Have nothing to pay. Have nothing to pay for your sin debt. And you come to the one that paid the price. You come to the one that paid for all of your sin. And he'll give you the forgiveness of God and make you one with him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that forgiveness. Thank you for paying the debt that we owed through the blood of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray for those that might be here this morning that's never come under the blood. They've never received Christ as their Savior. They're still trying to, they still bear their sins. And maybe they're trying to pay for it and pay for them on their own. But Father, help them to understand they cannot. They cannot pay for their sin. The only thing they can do for their sin is to die and go to hell and be separated from you forever. But Father, help them to see the alternative. Help them to see the answer. Help them to see the solution that you provided, the payment that you provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them to come to him. admit their sin, put their faith and trust in him, and ask him to save them. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, help us rejoice again this morning because we've been reminded of what Jesus did for us. We were reminded in the songs and in the specials, and we were reminded from your word what a wonderful Savior he is to us. He forgave us, made us right with you. And so I pray, dear God, that you bless this invitation. Help those that have never received Christ to come. Let's take the Bible, show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. If you've spoken to Christians about something, then, Father, help them to use this time of invitation to take care of it. Just bless. Use the invitation to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.